want to get to the Word of God. I want you to put your hand on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, this morning I take the Word. I make it my own. Thank you today. I will not just be a hearer of the Word, but a doer. Amen. Now, Saul chose David's music above Samuel's Word. Saul received David's music, but he rejected Samuel's Word. In order for us to grow, we cannot just receive the worship, but reject the word of that's preached. Somebody listening to me. Saul did the same thing. Saul wanted David's music, and David's music helped him, but he rejected the word of Samuel. And the Bible says, if you listen to the prophets, you will prosper. So this morning, we can't just be a hearer of the word, but we have to become a doer of the word. I promise you, what you say amen to on a Sunday, you will have to put practice on a Monday. Is somebody listening to me? This is why you can't just... The word is the highest authority. I want you to say this with me. The word is the highest authority. I'm going to say this again. The word is the highest authority. Not your opinion. Not Google's opinion. The word is the highest authority. We're living in a day and the age where many people try to change the word to suit their lifestyle. But you cannot change the word of God. Listen, if I think about the word of God, if you look at your Bible quickly, that's the written word. But do you know that the scripture says that in the beginning was the word? Come on, I'm preaching. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was of God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh, and he dwelled among us. When you reject the word, you reject life, you reject Jesus Christ. He is the word of God. Come on. I said he's the word of God. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It means the word doesn't change. Many people say, well, most churches preach the same gospel. The gospel shouldn't change. You change, technology change, the cell phone that you carry change, the car that you drive change. But the word of God remains the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Jesus Christ is still healing today. If Jesus is not healing today, he must change his name to I was. He is the great I am. He never changes. I made up my mind long ago that I believe this word of God. And when this word of God is spoken, I take it for me and myself. Because it cannot come back void. If it comes back void, he's a liar. And the Bible says there's no lie in him. He is the truth. Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that? The word transforms you forevermore. Now, what I love about the word of God, when the word of God is being spoken with truth, the anointing flows. The anointing of God flows not for people to feel good. Many people like the goosebump effect, you know? The jitters. Wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. Wave at me if you're, ooh, ooh, what's Dino? Ooh. Many people think that the anointing should just come to make us feel good. That's not what the anointing is all about. The anointing has been given for the work of ministry. When you feel the anointing, it's not because God wants you to feel good. God, when you feel the anointing, you have to know that there's about to happen something in you. Some yoke-destroying power of God is being released into your situation and to the people around you. This is why you need the anointing of God. You need to understand when the Spirit of God speaks and when the Spirit of God speaks and you obey. Listen, people can't take you where they haven't been. I always say this in church. If I have never been to Cape Town, I can't take you there. Listen to Google Maps. People can't take you where they haven't been. I've listened to people tell or speak to me about the anointing. They've got no idea about the anointing. You can only release what you have. Somebody listening to me. You can only release what you have. The anointing is most effective when we are mostly listening to the Spirit of God. That's when the anointing flows, is when we get to a position of total surrender, and when we healed. I heard the Spirit of God say to me that, and this is what I believe, a remnant of woman is rising up in this hour, that God will use like you use Catherine Kuhlman, Amy Semple McPherson, and Maria Wood of Etta. It's coming back. Whether we men want to know this or not, I believe that a double portion of the anointing is going to fall on ladies. Do you hear me? It's going to fall on women. So I tell the single ladies, before you marry, check out a guy, the way he worships. Because worship shows you how much he loves God. And if he doesn't love God, he's not going to love you. Why is it so quiet? If he's not a worshiper, kick him to the curb. He's not going to love you. And no, he's not going to change when you marry him. He needs the anointing of God. He needs the fire of the Holy Ghost to become a reality to him. We worship out of love. Say this, we worship out of love. Now, I want you to turn with me to your Bibles in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I'm going to teach you something this morning. This morning is a teaching morning. Amen. So Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Very important to understand for we as Christians to grow. The reason why many people are not growing or maturing spiritually is because a lack of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. When you get to know the Holy Spirit, and I'll go into it deeper into that, and I want to believe with all of my heart that the month of June is just going to be a Spirit-filled, anointing, destroy, yoke-destroying anointing-filled, glory invasion month. Amen. That's what I'm ready for. I said, that's what I'm ready for. So, Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And the scripture goes on. It says, to be an effective witness in Judea and Samaria. And so, in the utmost part of the world. So, why does the anointing come on us? The anointing come on us to become an effective witness. People that has no anointing is not an effective witness. They are public speakers. I hate it when I go somewhere and they say, well, we've got a speaker this morning. I'm not a speaker, I'm a demonstrator. Speakers babble, demonstrators release us the fire and the glory of God. This is why Paul has come and he says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when I came to you, I did not come to you with persuasive words of human wisdom. He says, my words were not even great words. He didn't have matric. He was not a doctor. He wasn't a doctor. He didn't study. He didn't study theology. He said, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with allocated words. It wasn't nice when it fell on the ears. He says, but when I came to you, I came with the demonstration, with the Spirit and power, so that your faith should not be in me, but in the power of God Almighty. So what is Paul saying? Paul says that when I spoke to you, I didn't speak to you with my own words, but it was a demonstration of the Spirit. Do you know what happens? What the scripture means? When Paul were preaching, Paul didn't need to lay hands in order for people to change. Paul preached a message, and while he was preaching, people were changing their seats. That's the effect of the anointing. I want you to say that's the effect of the anointing. Come on, one more time. One more time. That's the effect of the anointing. When you preach a gospel, you preach a message, and you start to see people can't sit on the lower no more. They start stirring in me. That's when you know the anointing is flowing. Listen, the anointing can be heard, it can be felt, it can be smelt. When you listen to a song and it irritates you, then you know, whoo, some people's got great talent. And some people just got a great anointing. Some people are great speakers. And others has just got a great anointing. And you don't care the suit that he wears or the Bible that they carry. You just move by the anointing upon their lives. Somebody listening to me. This is why Paul says, he says it's so important when I came to you that I didn't come to you with great words of human wisdom. But I came to demonstrate the kingdom power. And this is what we need in this hour. We need kingdom power. We need the power of God to invade our space. This anointing that I'm talking about is the anointing that breaks down walls. I'm talking to you about an anointing that opens up doors which no man can shut. It's the anointing of God that starts to move mountains and bring high things down. I'm going to teach you this morning how you're going to kill giants and how you're going to obey the voice of the Spirit. Many people don't know when God is speaking. And I'm going to teach this to you this morning. I'm going to teach you this morning how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready for that? So I want you to shout, we need the anointing. One more time. Now, just quickly, the Bible speaks about three types of anointing that I want to touch on. And you can see this in the book of John, in the book of Acts. First anointing that the scripture speaks about is the leper's anointing. The leper's anointing comes with salvation. When you give your life to Jesus, you give your life to Christ, the Bible says you're anointed. But you have a leper's anointing. It means it's an anointing that you've received at salvation. after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he met with his disciples, he spoke a word over them, and he blew on them, he breathed on them, and the scripture says, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's the leprous anointing. Why do you say this? Because the day that you give your life to Jesus is the day that the Holy Spirit comes lives here. Amen? It's a leprous anointing. Say with me, leprous anointing. And everybody that's saved has got that anointing. It's called the leprous anointing. It's the anointing that keeps you in love with Christ. It's the anointing that's the first encounter that you have with God. And you fall in love with Him so much, then you can't wait to get to church. Most people lose that the longer they serve God. Because most people don't cross over to the next dimension of the anointing. If you hear me, I want you to say hallelujah. So the Bible speaks about the leprous anointing. Then it goes on to the priestly anointing. The priestly anointing you'll find in the book of Acts, where the scripture says that the priestly anointing is for service, the work of service. And you start to preach the word of God. And I want to teach you something. Not everybody is a preacher. But because you're not called to preach, doesn't mean you do not have a ministry. You know the scripture says that this ministry of helps. Paul says, I've sown a seed, you've watered it, but we both have the same. At the end of the day, we're going to get the same reward. Because my anointing is the anointing to preach. By the way, there's an anointing for preaching, for teaching, for healing. There's an anointing for finances. There's different kinds of anointings. But I'm teaching you something. My anointing is to preach. Maybe your anointing is to help. Oh, it's quiet. Do you know, remember I said, when somebody came to me and said, did you see how the grass looks from at the church, the outside? I said, I did. I was praying. I said, God, just send us somebody that will cut all these grass. And you came. I see a green anointing all over you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the ministry of helps. All right? That's the ministry of helps. Whoo! Then you get another anointing, and I want to quickly touch on that. I call it the kingly anointing. The kingly anointing is anointing for dominion. Now, let me quickly explain something to you. When you have the leprous anointing, you give your life to Jesus, you're still in a safe zone. Hello. You get the priestly anointing, you preach and whatever. But when you get the kingly anointing over dominion, it's where you have to be very sensitive to the Spirit of God. That's where God starts to use you for creative miracles. The power of God shakes a place. Demons tremble at the sound of your voice. Somebody listening to me. It's you experience a deeper dimension of God. This is where most people lose the plot. This is where most people, and again I want to say this, and Vessel to Brain approves this message. If you have a prophetic ministry, you better get somebody that speaks into your life. A prophet that is running his own course is not of God. Okay, it's so quiet. Satan will use the anointing against you, and the anointing will kill you. This is why most people die young. We had a great prophet in South Africa. I warned him before he died. God gave me a dream. I'm not going to mention his name. God gave me a clear dream that he's going to die, how he's going to die, what they're going to do after he's dead. And I went into him, I told him, I said, this is what God says. You either have to change what you teach or God's going to remove you. Same happened with William Branham. The guy didn't listen. He died. I was preaching in KwaZulu-Natal, and that night when he died, they messaged me. They said, listen, he just died, and this is what we've done with his body, exactly what God showed me in a dream. And he was warned. The simple reason is because this, and I believe that God can use great anointings on people. Absolutely, God can use, but nobody comes to a place where your anointing is so big that you do not have a covering. When you protect the anointing, the anointing will protect you. Many people say, I don't need to protect the anointing. It's people that says you don't need to protect the anointing do not know the anointing. The anointing should be protected. In the day that we, and the hour we are living, there's a lot of gimmicks. Many people think that you can buy the anointing. Listen, let me just tell you, free of charge, there's a huge price to pay for the mighty, mighty anointing of God's power. This is why most people stick with the leprous anointing, and not many people cross over to the kingly anointing, where the dominion and authority, because you know what happens? Now there's a shift that takes place. You are responsible now for God's people. What you preach, you're responsible. Come on, what you teach people, you become responsible. This is why when people think that sometimes I preach a hot message. Do you know what? I'm responsible for you. Before you tell me how to kill a Goliath, you better show me your bear and you better show me your lion. There's bears and lions after the sheep of God. And we that walk in the kingly anointing has been ordered and ordained to kill those things before it comes to the sheep. And I declare to you by the power of God, in the name of Jesus, every bear and every lion that comes against you shall fall before you, and greater things shall come to your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Come on, if you believe it, give him a great shout of praise in this house. You will have the power over the bear. You will have the power over the lion in the name of Jesus, and giants will fall. I just want to stand still for the next 2 minutes on this, and then we're going to go deeper. I don't know if you're ready for deeper. My God, I feel such an anointing in this place. Shout hallelujah. Quickly, how do I kill a giant? Number one, I have to trust the anointing. Say that I have to trust the anointing. I have to trust the anointing. Before David killed Goliath, let me just quickly tell you what he did. What most people tend to forget. You know, when David got to the battlefield and Saul said, yeah, you're too small, you're too young. When anybody tells you you're too young, do you know what it means? You're qualified. The only reason why Satan is fighting you so much is because he knows what's on the inside of you. He knows what's on top of you. Like that Cremora advert says, he's not inside, he's on top. There's a spirit of God, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, quickens those mortal bodies. He's alive in you. If people ask you who has qualified you, then you say the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He qualified me. Every time the enemy tells you you're too young, nobody's going to listen to you. Do you know why he tells you that? Because you already are a voice. And he knows when the anointing starts to flow out of here, it's going to be a different anointing. Satan doesn't fight lukewarm Christians. Satan doesn't fight those who do nothing for the kingdom of God. Satan fights those who have been set aside, sanctified, and used for the master. He fights you because he knows that there's something in you. In actual fact, I want to tell you, Satan doesn't hate you. He hates what you have on the inside of you. He hates that spirit of truth. Woo! Praise God. I feel the anointing. And it's going to flow. And again, the anointing is not woo. Like a goosebumpy. When I feel the anointing flow, I know something is changing. I know somebody's life is being affected. I had a woman, she said to me, and it's a precious lady, and her husband, they sent me a picture here while I was praying for them 6 months ago. And I gave them a word 6 months ago. I said, in 6 months from today, God says everything's going to be different. I gave them a whole word, and she said to me, 6 months today, everything is different, exactly as you said. Why? I didn't even say, wow, really? Or thought to myself, you God, you did it again. I know what happens with the effect of the anointing, when the anointing is being released. If people can just get this, what the anointing does, the anointing is a forerunner. The anointing runs right long before you. And when you get to that season, you just step in what the anointing has possessed. Woo! My God. I want you to give Jesus a shout of praise. Come on. Come on, give him a shout of praise. So you have to trust the anointing. You have to know what it means to kill the bear and the lion. This is what most people don't understand of David. Many people see David killing a Goliath. Most people don't know what David did behind the scenes. The behind the scenes was his lonely hours with God. You can say, I have been rejected. That's good. When people reject you, God accepts you. Yeah. Whew, hallelujah. When people reject you, God protects you. Most times when I thought I was rejected of something good, I was redirected to something better. Hallelujah. People don't reject you for no reason. God is protecting you and he sustains what you have on you. And this is what David had to do. David had to spend time, lonely hours. Come on, you can tweet this. You can put this on Instagram. You can WhatsApp this to somebody. In your most lonely hours, God creates supernatural powers. Power doesn't come in a crowd. Power comes when you're alone. Power comes when you're alone, spending time with God alone. And you know what? When David was killing the bear and he was killing the lion, there wasn't a big crowd around him. The only thing that he was doing was protecting what was his. He was protecting the sheep. By the way, the Bible says, my sheep knows my voice. And they don't go astray. They don't listen to any. Where's the body of Christ that's listening? Jesus says, my sheep. Jesus in his own words says, my sheep. They know my voice and they follow me. And David's job was to protect what God has given him. This is why when David got to the battlefield and Saul said to him, you're too young. Do you know what David said? Hang on, let me quickly get my CV. Terwijl jullie mannetjes nog op en af. I was already in battle. When you were on your tea break, I was killing lions and bears. What do you do for a living? Well, I'm not just a shepherd. David, what do you do for a living? A shepherd, no. I'm a lion killer. I slap bears around for a living. Amen. People think that pastors are just shepherds. Nah. Do you know what they do behind the scenes? While you're on your tea break, they slap bears around. They run behind the lions. And woo! Break those jaws apart. That's what David said. So you have to trust the anointing. When the anointing comes on you, the anointing will not fail you. You have to start to get to a position where you can allow the anointing to flow through you. Where you just surrender, let the anointing do the work for you. Again, the anointing is not there to help us feel good. When the anointing starts to flow like it's going to flow this morning, you'll experience a yoke-destroying anointing. And do you know what the anointing does? The anointing is like a hammer. When you stand before a wall and you keep on hitting and hitting and hitting, listen, after the first hit, maybe the wall's still there. But eventually that wall will crumble down. That's what the anointing does. What you sit under, you become. You have access to what you honor. I need people to preach with me this morning. This is why you have to be very careful not to become too familiar with people. Because when people become familiar with you, they can't receive from that anointing that flows through you. And for your sake, you have to be protected. Because when you get here and you sit under this anointing, do you know what happens? You have access to this anointing. Let me quickly give you an example. On Friday evenings when the team goes and they feed the poor. Do you know what? They don't just feed the poor, they pray for the sick. And when they come back with the report and say, people are getting healed, I'm laughing. Why do I laugh? Because it brings joy to my soul, knowing that they have access to the overflow of the anointing. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The Bible says that when Aaron was anointed, you know what they did? They took a bottle of oil and poured it over his head. And the scripture says the anointing oil flowed from the head down the beard, right down to the members, and eventually to the edge of the skirts. This is how the anointing flows. The anointing flows from above. Not from down there, above. Is someone listening to me? And the rest has the effect of the anointing. When it runs through the precious beard, my God, your lips will be anointed by the power of God. From this morning when you speak a word, the presence of God Almighty shall shake everything that comes against you. I'm speaking to some lion killers. I'm speaking to some bear slappers in this place. You are killing that bear. You are killing that lion. Why do you think David had such confidence to say, "Ach, here you are"? Saul said, this guy is too big to fight. David said, this guy is too big to miss. Saul said, if we just have a man. David said, I am the man. Let me tell you, show you my CV. This guy, ach, yeah, I'll feed him quickly. Bang, bang, done. Why are you so secure? Let me quickly tell you. You know, I've been fighting beasts. You're lying. Let me show you. Look at the scars. Whew. Look at the scars. The scars of your heart is not because you are ruined or broken. It's just the remembrance where God took you out of and the battles you fought. And you know what? You have to know this, that the process is critical. You know what it means to kill that Goliath, or you know what it means to kill the lion and the bear. Goliath means nothing to you. People don't honor the anointing no more. People don't honor what they are getting fed no more. People like feel good messages. The minute the anointing starts to flow, it gets things to the surface. Let me quickly tell you, and I'm going to get there eventually in the month, but when the anointing starts to flow, there's another dimension that God takes you into the glory. And it comes through worshiping and through faith, and eventually you're in the glory. But let me quickly explain this to you. This is what happens in the glory. When the glory of God comes, do you know what God does? He changes you. The presence of God again doesn't come for no reason. It comes to change you. Why do I spend time in His presence? It's to become more like Him, to look more like Him. Is someone listening to me? So what happens in the glory of God, in His presence, things come to the surface, things that God wants to change. And then you know what people say? Well, this message is too hard for me. I'm going to look for another church. I'm offended. 5,000 people left Jesus the minute He started opening His mouth. 5,000. He turned to Peter and He said, "Do you going to go to? Rather you go to." Jesus knew that the power on His life is not attached to how many people is following Him. He knew. This is why Peter had the revelation and said, "Lord, where will we go from? Use the words of life." This is what Peter said. I need to be attached to you. And I need to be assigned to you. And I need to sit under you. Because from you flow that river. Because the anointing flows from above. Amen. Amen. But the anointing should be trusted. Say this. The anointing should be trusted. Now it's great to know that you've got the anointing. But something else needs to happen. You need to go to war. When the anointing comes on your life, it doesn't come again. I say this again. To feel good. When the anointing hits you this morning, do you know what you need to do? You need to go to war. You need to go to war. Whatever kept you in bondage, you better go and fight it. You better say, this is why the anointing has come upon me. The anointing is a smearing off. It's like the Holy Spirit oil has been smeared on you. It's the thumbprint of God on your life. It's how you know that like the scripture says, the Holy Spirit has been given as a guarantee. So you have the anointing of God on you. Number one, you trust the anointing. You run. Listen, if you don't do anything impossible, you have never used your faith. You have to do something impossible that seems impossible to self. Come, I don't want people to sleep right now. If you sleep, I'm going to ask God to send fire. They believe me. Look at this church. Look at this. Hear me quickly. Number two, when the anointing comes, you better go to war. I can't tell you, but this is what I do. Somebody asked me the other night, how much time do you take to rebuke in the presence of God? I say none. Because what I do is, under the anointing, that's why I go to war. This is why I fight. This is why I decree. In the presence of God, I don't fight. The fight has been won. In the presence of God, I step in to what Christ has already done for me. In the anointing, I have to work. I have to do something. I have to lay hands on people. Not with the glory. When the presence of God comes in, the presence of God can heal you in your seat, can touch you in your seat. Because you know what you do? The anointing is man and his gifts. The glory is God and his people. When the anointing flows, I have to operate with the giftings. I have to operate with the weapons of warfare that God has given me.